Blog Talk Radio.
Buenas noches, Boricuas del Mundo. Esta es una nueva edición de Boricuas of the World Social Club Talk Show. Yo soy su anfitrión, Will Santiago Viera, y como todos los viernes estamos aquí para traerles cultura, música e información pertinente de Puerto Rico y la diáspora. Bienvenidos. ¿Cómo están, boricuas del mundo? Espero que estén bien. Yo estoy de lo mejor, gracias a Dios, aquí. Está un poquito fresquito aquí en Nueva York, en la ciudad de Nueva York, por acá, por el Bronx. Pero no están dando calefacción, así que estamos bien. No está muy malo que digamos. Gracias por estar con nosotros otra vez. Es un placer para mí. Esta noche tenemos un show muy bueno que tenemos otra vez a nuestro amigo y también el anfitrión de nuestro libro Boricua del Mes, Nelson Antonio Denis, que va a estar con nosotros hablando de una variedad de cositas que queremos hablar. Pero de todos modos, usted sabe que siempre le pido que se unan a nuestras páginas, que se hagan seguidores nuestros. Nosotros tenemos una página ahora que se lo estamos haciendo facilísimo a ustedes. Todo lo que tienen que hacer es ir a www.presenteydepie.org. Vaya allí y ahí va a poder unirse a todas nuestras páginas, donde va a ver que tenemos un tab que dice Our Websites and Pages. Usted va ahí, se une, nos siguen en Twitter, va a Facebook y nos da un like, y a las dos páginas que tenemos en Facebook, que tiene que darle un like a esa página. También tenemos otra página que es solamente para miembros, tiene que pedir hacerse miembro. Pero tenemos también archivos de nuestros shows, estos shows que usted está escuchando ahora, nosotros ponemos algunos de los buenos, los ponemos ahí, no todos. También tenemos un link de noticias. Noticias que pensamos que son pertinentes y que ustedes deberían escuchar, la ponemos ahí. También tenemos una página para eventos de la comunidad. Así que si usted quiere saber qué está pasando en la comunidad, usted va a esta página y puede ver los eventos. Queremos que todo el que tenga eventos, después que sea algo boricua, algo bueno y algo que no sea para ganar dinero, porque nosotros no estamos aquí para ayudar a nadie a ganar dinero. Lo que queremos hacer es que nuestra gente se eduquen. Y si es algo muy bueno así, ustedes me lo mandan y lo ponemos en la página Community Events. Pero más importante que eso, se llama Boricuas of the World Press, presente y de pie, porque somos una publicación donde tenemos distintas personas que escriben artículos para nuestra página que son pertinentes a todo lo de Puerto Rico, o sea, allá en la isla o la diáspora. Nelson Denis es uno de los que escribe para esta publicación, así que es importantísimo que venga a esta página y nos dé una miradita, ¿ok? Así que no se me vayan, que la cosa se pone buena. Como les dije, estoy con Nelson Denis, que esta noche está por allá en un lugar frío, está pegadito de Canadá, en Buffalo, Nueva York. Nelson Denis, mi hermano, ¿cómo estás tú? ¿Qué tú haces por allá arriba?
Bueno, me iba a casar, pero me abandonó la novia, así que estoy aquí viendo la ventana de Niagara Falls, estoy solo. So, in the absence of that, I'm gonna talk about the Financial Control Board, the second obsession in my life.
I see. Awesome. And where is this going to be at?
There's a town hall meeting. It's not exactly in Buffalo. They're doing it in Jamestown, because apparently there's a developing Puerto Rican community in Jamestown, New York, which is, I guess it's on the outskirts of Buffalo, adjoining Buffalo. And it's through a group that's sponsored by the National Endowment for the Humanities. I think it's not the New York State Council on the Arts. I think it's the New York State Council on the Humanities is their name. Mm-hmm. And they sponsored this community event to try to foster community awareness in Jamestown of Puerto Rican community, the Puerto Rican population there.
Excellent. Hay que llevar la palabra por todos lugares. We got to move that message all over the place. So let me begin. Let me begin with you because I have something that that freaked me out when I saw it, but I know that you have a good explanation for it. I saw that you posted an article that was added to Fox News Latino.
That's right.
What's that all about? Fox News Latino.
Well, if you notice, look at where we've gotten, where what we've done for the last year. Sometimes what happens is we're preaching to the to our own choir. We're preaching to the already converted, and we know a lot of the and we keep talking to each other about things that we fully understand, but the rest of the world, a larger public, doesn't. So what occurred to me is that I want to reach out and talk about the Jones Act and the Financial Control Board and the lack of Chapter 9 bankruptcy, la historia de Don Pedro Albizu Campos, and how they created this Commonwealth in 1952, and it was just pretty much of a colonial makeover. And talk about the real, you know, the history that we know of Puerto Rico, but to reach new audiences, new people. And one of the real clear ways to do that is, hey, you know, the audience, the Fox News Latino, because give you an example.
Yeah, it makes
Will.
Sense.
Mira,
it makes sense to me.
Let me give you one example. We all know that Luis Fortuño, ex-governor Fortuño, borrowed $16 billion during only 4 years. He was only in for one term. He borrowed more money and put Puerto Rico into more debt than any other governor in Puerto Rican history. $16 billion. And then $9 billion of that amount to this day is not fully accounted for. It's not. It hasn't been made clear. It hasn't been audited. It's not clear where it went. And to give you an example, openly and brazenly, $1 million of that $1 million of it went to – there's a line item that was put out in sort of like a master budget that they released. $1 billion went to public relations. That's what they put, public relations. How do you spend $1 billion on public relations? And what kind of public relations? What is that?
The best in the world.
I mean, public relations, that doesn't even make sense. So here's the – and so what I'm – reason I bring it up is because Luis Fortuño – is now has two of his people are on the Financial Control Board. And Luis Fortuño has a multimillion-dollar partnership at Steptoe & Johnson. And Fortuño is writing columns in Fox News Latino, one of which, you're going to love this title, Puerto Rico has a spending problem. Perdóname, macho, pero tú fuiste el que prestaste los 16 mil millones de dólares, and now
I have to see that
The criminal in Puerto Rico, the robber in Puerto Rico, is the reformer in Washington. So I thought that I should see if I could get on the same medium and exercise my First Amendment rights and talk about him. And frankly, I was a little shocked too when Fox News Latino published it, but they did. They published it this week, and it's an article that I wrote about how nearly impossible it will be for the next governor of Puerto Rico to govern anything.
That's one of the things that I wanted to ask you about, because if you don't mind, you asked the question: will the next governor be able to govern? And one piece of this article that made me curious was what you wrote about what the next governor should do. And I quote: NPLP. Okay, and I was wondering what the hell is PLP? And for the past 50 years, you wrote the PPD and the PNP have actually been one party, the PLP, the party of lining their pockets. Now, the next governor.
Say that again, because I don't think people heard that. Could you say that again? The party of
lining their pockets.
And
then it says the next governor should revoke both party charters, resign from office, and run for governor again in a nonpartisan election. And then you wrote, this is not as ridiculous as it sounds. Today, more than 80% of U.S. cities hold nonpartisan elections for local office. Now, please explain that whole thing to me.
Okay, but it is what it is. You know, I mean, I'll just take it piece by piece. We've had in Puerto Rico for the last 60 years, un quítate tú para ponerme yo, and one party using the other party for their own mutual advantage of getting elected. And so that, because if people are honest, what have these two parties gotten them other than Analdi Hernandez and a bunch of an amazing amount of corruption, 78 mayoral administrations, and now a financial control board? So that's why I wrote there's not really a two-party system in Puerto Rico, the PPD and the PNP. It's a one-party system, the PLP, the party of lining their pockets, because that's exactly what's been going on. And so I put the hyperlink in the article. It was a New York Times article written by Randy Mastro, I think his name is. He was one of the deputy mayors of New York some years ago. Mm-hmm. And he did a study and found that 80% of America's cities run the elections are nonpartisan elections. There's no party, no Democrat, Republican.
Bloomberg actually wanted to do that here, too.
No, I think in Puerto Rico, maybe the time has come to consider that, because the party system is so infested with corruption, and all they are is delivery vehicles for people to hire their own family and friends and hand out contracts.
But what,
and that's,
what would stop them, you know, even with the one-party system, what would stop them from lining their pockets?
It would be less systematic. So that's one thing. And what I mean by that is this. When you get elected from, let's say in the Democratic Party, let's look at the, you know, without casting aspersions, let's look at the Bronx. I'm sorry.
okay.
But, there's a machine, right? And so if you come up through that machinery, then when you get elected, you owe favors all throughout that machinery. And so va a estar repartiendo trabajo y contrato for the people in that whole machinery. So it's all systemic corruption. It's the institutionalization of corruption. That's why we have a RICO Act, you know, against organized crime. So when it's gotten to a level that the corruption is so organized that the political parties are really an organized crime unit, then it's time to break it up. So that if you're going to be robbed, at least you're going to be robbed by one guy, not an entire mob. So it would be, if you have nonpartisan elections, people, there's a greater, it's not 100% foolproof. You know, there's human nature still exists. Greed is everywhere, but you know, you won't have now this that when you get elected, you owe dozens of favors all over the place to the party that got you elected. So that's why the nonpartisan elections would be a healthier way, and will probably end up saving Puerto Rico a lot of money. And it's not as ridiculous as it sounds. Think about this. Think of the practical matter. Vamos a decir que quien sea, Bernier, or say, bueno, if it was María de Luz de Santiago, she wouldn't have to authenticate herself, in my view. She's already sufficiently open, honest, transparent. She's been making great sacrifices. She's been doing and saying the right thing for decades. But she's already proven herself. But let's say, you know, Bernier or Rosselló gets in. Well, one way they could prove himself is by doing this, by revoking the charters of the parties, saying, whoever that governor is, this new governor, I'm no longer a member of this party. We're going to revoke the charters, and we're going to have a nonpartisan election. Then he'd have to run all over again. But I believe that governor, even though he wouldn't be ringing out with a party machinery behind him, he or she would win, because people would appreciate it. Wow, this guy actually quit being governor. He risked his own political career to clean up the political system, and now he's running on his own. Now I'm going to vote for him again. That person might get an even higher majority of votes in a clean election system. So that's what I think that's one thing that the next governor could. Notice I divided that article into what they should and what they can do.
Yeah.
I put this into the article in the area of what they should do, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to.
Let me get to the next point then. Mm-hmm. And this is something that has bothered me for a long time, because I also agree that 78 mayors in Puerto Rico is just a huge amount of mayors. Now, in your opinion, why do you think we should change that formula? And I agree that we should, but what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, look, in that one, that one I think is someone that something that people can really understand quite really very plainly, because the arithmetic is so clear. New York City has about a population of about 8.5 million people, and Puerto Rico is about 3.5 million. New York City has one mayor. Puerto Rico has 78 mayors. On a population basis, that would be the equivalent of New York City having 189 mayors, if we use the same population formula that's being used in Puerto Rico. It's roughly about every 40,000 people has a mayor so in other words, I live in Washington Heights. It'd be like we would have like five mayors in Washington Heights. It's like practically having a mayor on every block.
Look at it this way: you could run, and it'd be a lot easier to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to continue with the math and to be serious here for a change, Willie, on your show, the budget of all these 78 mayors is $2.2 million, and the salaries of the mayors is $1.1 million. So if you add that up, it's $3.3 million a year that's being spent on these 78 mayoral administrations. I think that eight regional mayors in Puerto Rico would be more than enough. And even that, we have a mayor, we're in New York, we have a mayor for 8.5 million people. And it's just not the mayor, it's that the mayoral administration. So you have a very large payroll. So when you have 78 mayors and 78 administrations and 78 payrolls, the money is just going out the door. And let's face it, Will, you know full really that these mayors, maybe not all of them, but a lot of them are hiring their family and their friends, right?
Yeah, true. That's what's going on. I know a couple, right? Who have. But yeah. My question is, Nelson, okay, with the situation the way it is now in Puerto Rico, let's say they do decide to change the mayoral system. Wouldn't a lot of people be out of work?
Good point. But we have to take things one thing at a time, right? One thing at a time. We can't, unfortunately, not ignore certain problems. You're right. Well, but it's not as if we're not talking about other things that are in that article, because right in that article, if you look right there, I think that's the very next point. I think it's the next point. Is the Jones Act? Is it the very next point? Or
actually,
I think
it's not yet. But we'll get to the Jones Act,
the
because
Commission,
I have
right?
some questions about that. Yeah, because
yeah.
you also wrote about establishing a commission on ethics. That's great. So how would this happen? Should happen?
And that's how these things work together. So on the one hand, yeah, we'll have left 78 mayoral administrations. But on the other, if we get that money back, then we can have that money can go towards building businesses, building industries, and through the Ethics Commission, we really save a lot of money. That in New York State, the governor Cuomo set up something called a Moreland Commission. And a Moreland Commission, it investigates public corruption, and they have investigatory and subpoena powers.
Huh? Except his corruption.
And that's part of what happened to Puerto Rico, too. They investigate themselves. So if the next governor, this is something that they should do. Whether they're going to do it, that's another matter. But if you have a Puerto Rico Ethics Commission, they could investigate the $4 billion that were really a disguised Ponzi scheme at PREPA, these Series A bonds that were really an illegal criminal enterprise that was just charging the people of Puerto Rico, and all the interest on those bonds went to people that basically rich people on Wall Street and other people of Puerto Rico are paying the interest on those bonds. So they could investigate that. They could investigate the $9 billion that were appropriated during the Fortunio administration that is basically missing, and $1 billion of it went to public relations. They could investigate the $400 million that was spent on the Gasoducto, which is a gas pipeline that was never built. They could investigate $100 million that was appropriated for the Fideicomiso de Ciencias that also never came into existence. They could investigate the toxic oil that's been used at PREPA for decades, and then they falsified the lab reports. Hundreds of lab reports were falsified to make it look like it was qualifying environmentally sound oil, and it wasn't, and it was cheaper oil. And then the difference between the cheaper oil and the more expensive, which is what they were supposed to be using or what they claimed they were using because they falsified the lab reports, that money they put in their pockets, who's they? The agency administrators and politicians on the island of Puerto Rico and some of the oil traders, and that includes some very rich U.S. businessmen. That the Puerto Rico Ethics Commission could look into all of that, and the money that they could claw back from that could be used to develop business in Puerto Rico. I'll give you an example how that clawback works. The CEO of Wells Fargo just lost his job. And he's the CEO, and he was forced. They clawed back $41 million in salary that he'd been given over the last few years. That money came back to Wells Fargo because he was not engaged in wrongdoing, making people come up with fake bank accounts on their clients. And so he was fired. The money, got that money back. Well, that's what the Puerto Rico Ethics Commission could do. Except in this case, it's not $41 million. It's many billions of dollars. And those billions of dollars, if even a portion of it gets recovered, could go to building real businesses in throughout Puerto Rico. It would help the economy. And so that's what the Ethics Commission is about.
Okay. All right. And now getting back to the Jones Act, then you said that an assumption with lower consumer prices, I believe you said 15 to 20%.
Yeah, and I don't want to go too long enough because I think we've done it a bunch of times on the show, so I'll do it in a quick form. The Jones Act forces Puerto Rico to pay 20% more for any foreign goods that come in. Now, Puerto Rico is an island, so it has to import. For instance, it imports virtually all of its food. The agriculture is only 0.8% of the Puerto Rican economy. 80% of the food that comes into Puerto Rico comes from the United States. And all of the products, food and otherwise, that come from the United States are costing Puerto Ricans almost 20%. Not exactly 20%, because what they do through the Jones Act is they force foreign registry vessels to pay all sorts of costs or to go to Jacksonville, Florida, and offload the stuff from the foreign boat, put it on a U.S. boat, then it's allowed to Puerto Rico. But again, because of that, it ends up costing about 20%. So then the U.S. companies can just slightly charge a little less than that, and the Puerto Ricans will buy it because Puerto Ricans are price sensitive. If they can save a few pennies on something, they will. So the Jones Act has forced Puerto Ricans to pay between $3 and $6 billion additional price for everything that comes in, whether it's from the United States or from somewhere else. A car in Puerto Rico, the same car, costs $6,000 more in San Juan than it does in Miami. Some milk costs twice as much in Puerto Rico as it does on the mainland. Energy costs 30% more. Oil costs 30% more. And there's going to be an additional rate hike at PREPA next year at 22%. So the cost of living is outrageous in Puerto Rico. And there's been studies that have found that if it weren't for the Jones Act, we would have paid this supposed debt that Puerto Rico has wouldn't exist, because Puerto Rico would have been able to pay that debt six times over.
It would have been robbed by the government.
That's where all these things come together, these things that I put in the article. Nonpartisan elections and an ethics commission and a Jones Act reform.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that the climate is right now for a repeal? You think that somewhere in the back of somebody's mind, maybe in the junta, maybe in government, maybe in Congress, that might be, perhaps a solution somewhere down the line? Hello? I think I lost Nelson. When I give him a juicy question, I lose him. Hello? Hello, Nelson. Let's see if he tries to get back with us. It seems as if this is what happens when you're calling from a cell phone. But, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to get to chatting. Nelson, try calling again. Okay, so he just fell off. He's going to try to get back with us. This happened. This has happened a number of times on the show, and so we apologize to you for that. But again, you know, the cell phone is an instrument that we truly need, that we've gotten so used to it, but it's not as reliable as it should be. So Nelson is right back, I believe. Let's see. Nelson?
Yeah, can you hear me? I can hear you.
I can hear you now. We sound like that commercial for Verizon. Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me? Yeah, I don't know what happened.
Let me jump right back to the question that I had. Is the climate right for a repeal of the Jones Act? I mean, is it as the Junta or Congress or maybe the government in Puerto Rico thinking in their back of their minds, even if it's at the last end of their mind, that this could be something that would help Puerto Rico?
Well, at any time, there's going to be an opposition because there are the people that benefit from the Jones Act. They're going to hire their lobbyists.
The people in Florida.
Push. And so, well, in Jacksonville, the Longshoremen's Union and even the Teamsters, and also the Maritime Association, the SeaStar, Crowley, Horizon, Trailways, the four carriers that are basically get the benefit of all that shipping because they're the ones that do the shipping from Jacksonville to Puerto Rico. They'll oppose it. But there is a growing opposition, and I'll give you what is good is it's across a broad ideological spectrum. The Manhattan Institute, the Cato Institute, and the Heritage Foundation, all of those are very conservative think tanks. All three of them, and this is in the article, and I provided the links in the article that's in Fox News Latino this week. You can see and it's very, very detailed, very pretty documented. They all conducted their own independent studies of the pernicious effect of the Jones Act, not only in Puerto Rico, but for the American economy in general, that is basically making the economy less competitive. So you have it there. And then you have the Hill, which is a more liberal institution, that wrote about it. Then the Federal Reserve Bank of New York wrote a 40-page report on the economy of Puerto Rico and the effect of the Jones Act, and they found that the Jones Act is really hurting the Puerto Rican economy. So you have – oh, let me add to that. The Washington Post and the New York Times have also called for the repeal of the Jones Act, and the New York Times specifically said that to repeal it in Puerto Rico. So you have it across in the media and in conservative and in liberal think tanks. And then you have specific political people. Senator John McCain from Arizona has repeatedly put up a Jones Act repeal bill, but it's kind of been stifled in committee. And then here's an interesting one. A new congressman, I think he's only in his second term, a Republican from Alabama, and this guy is extreme. He's like a Tea Party conservative. He's like way. He got 100% rating from the Freedom Coalition, one of the most right leaning groups that there is in Washington. That's how this guy's like alt right is the way this guy is. Anyway, his name is Representative Graham. I think his first name is Allen, but it's Representative Graham from Alabama. Now he did something. He tried to attach the elimination of the Jones Act in Puerto Rico to the PROMESA bill. That would have made a whole lot of sense because then we're really talking about economic revitalization in Puerto Rico. It made sense. And you know what happened? Representative Jim Young, the head of the committee, struck it down. Not only it wasn't – forget being voted on. It wasn't even discussed or debated. It was not a part of the record of the proceedings. it was immediately sidetracked off the table, and because it was called, and they said it was non-germane, that has nothing to
which
do
means?
With it. Well, non-germane means irrelevant. So if therefore, if the Jones Act and the economic revitalization of Puerto Rico, of the economy, is irrelevant to the PROMESA bill, that only reaffirms what people have been saying, that the PROMESA bill is merely a credit collection for the hedge funds, that it is just a collection agency for the vulture funds that are owed as debt. So, but it's interesting that a Republican named Graham, and I'm saying his name over and over because what I think people should do is consider calling his office, creating a coalition. Graham is in Congress. McCain is in the Senate. So you have your two Senate sponsors. They're both Republican, which gives an interesting political cover to the piece. And you have a very broad and growing spectrum of ideological support from all the places that I mentioned. And by the way, in the article, in the Fox News article, I provided over 60 hyperlinks, 60 links. And so when I say the Manhattan Institute, the Cato Institute, Heritage Foundation, the Times, the Washington Post, I provided the links to every one of those so that anyone that wants to read about it or anyone that wants to get involved in this and maybe call up the congressman's office or call up their own congressman or just start to develop and put some meat on this issue and start help and working on it locally. One way we can start is I put the 60 links in this article so that you can read the reports for yourself and have the information when you talk to other people about the Jones Act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, something has to be done because I think that's probably one of the biggest components that they never added to it. And I can't fathom that they're protecting 54,000 jobs over 3.5 million people in Puerto Rico. It's really freaking crazy. But anyways, I wanted to talk to you before we end the show about this past weekend's march on Washington demanding the incarceration of Oscar Lopez Rivera. And, of course, Oscar Lopez Rivera has been incarcerated for over 35 years for the so-called crime of seditious conspiracy. Now, tell me how it went. Tell me what – I know that there was about 11 buses leaving from New York City. It must have been one heck of an event. I missed it. I couldn't go, unfortunately, but a lot of my friends went. How did you see the event?
Actually, it was almost a model of organization. I want to give a shout-out to Jose López Rivera, el hermano de Oscar López Rivera from
mm-hmm.
Chicago, and to his right-hand person, Alejandro Molina, who was a tremendous organizer. And he had a lot to do with the organization of this, and they worked on it very hard. There was scheduled 11, but only one did make it, 10 buses, but that's a lot. 10 buses left from New York and from all over the country, dozens of buses altogether. There were over 1,000 people at Lafayette Park, which is where it occurred, and we had a great lineup of speakers. And a personal favorite of mine is Congressman Luis Gutierrez. He always speaks clearly, passionately, and he walks the walk. He's no un buchi pluma, because when it came time to vote for or against the PROMESA and the Financial Control Board, he voted the way he talked. He voted against it. He didn't do it. Unfortunately, sometimes you need to name names. Nidia Velasque, Jose Serrano, at the last minute, voted for it. I noticed that they got placed on the advisory task force, and that advisory task force probably gets to name some of the contractors and some of the smaller economic players that are going to get to play, right? And also, Will, remember this, that the Financial Control Board has a budget of $370 million just for the Financial Control Board. And whereas in Detroit, they received a grant of $176 million from the federal government. That's what accompanied the Financial Control Board to Detroit. They were given the $176 million. Puerto Ricans are having to pay $370 million for the Financial Control Board that is controlling them. Now, where is that money going to go? Well, A lot of that money is going to go to quote-unquote consultants, experts, advisors. And so guess what? Well, let's follow the money here. Jose Serrano and Nidia Velasquez got named to a task force that is making recommendations and working hand in glove with the Financial Control Board. I'll leave it at that. I won't say anything further.
I call them los vendepatrias. I'm really pissed off at those two because they are vendepatrias. That's all I have to say. But anyways, I just wanted to your opinion on how great the march was.
Yeah, let me go. I'm sorry. So the event, it was a bright, sunny day. It was kind of cloudy and everything in New York, but it was the weather was different in Washington. Beautiful, bright, not a cloud in sight. A residente de Calle 13 came. People really loved him. He spoke forcefully, very involved, very clear. Didn't have any of the ideological confusion of Lin-Manuel Miranda. He was very clear about the Financial Control Board and that we needed to get past it and rid of it as soon as possible. Jose Lopez Rivera spoke. Melissa Mark Viverito was there. There were artists, people from Philadelphia, singers, authors. A great thing is that I saw about 20 or 30 people that I talk to almost every week, and I saw about 100 people that I haven't seen in 5 years. It was that kind of event. It was like one big family.
My friend Destiny got sick when there also. She lives in New Jersey. And I was so jealous because she had a photo with Maria de Lourdes Santiago. Really great photo. And, oh, man, why didn't I go? I could have taken a picture, you know me, with my photography.
Yeah, well, I know you had a crush on that lady.
But,
all right?
But I told you, I have to hook you up. I'm sorry?
You have a crush on that lady. I said, I know you have a crush on that.
But listen, man, she has the right mind. She has the right mind to rule in Puerto Rico como se debe hacer, you know. And I love when she speaks, you know, she speaks with character. She speaks with gusto. And she knows what the heck she's talking about. And I'm really, really happy with her. I just know that she would make such a great governor of Puerto Rico. And she would get things straight. But que se puede hacer. De todos modos, ella se tomó una foto con Destiny Garcet, and I was so jealous because I wanted to take a photo with her. How many people you think you saw there?
I'd say there was over 1,000. Say between 1,000 and 1,500. One quick thing about Maria de Lourdes, if any one of the listeners are interested, you can go on YouTube and you Google the words, you go on YouTube and you go Maria de Lourdes Santiago. Dossier, D-O-S-S-I-E-R. And that's an hour-long interview that she had with a Venezuelan television show called Dossier. And it's just her and the interviewer for an hour. And it's now that is what a governor should look and sound like. That interview, that's the first time I heard her. Amazing.
Yeah, she was incredible. I loved it. Folks, you should check it out. Trust me, you're going to love it. De todos modos, Nelson, llegamos a nuestro final ya. Así que muchas gracias otra vez. You're a wonderful friend, great human being. You helped me out doing the show, and I appreciate it de todo corazón. Vamos a ver si ya empiezas, te lo voy a decir en frente de todo el mundo, vamos a ver si empiezas ya a preparar el artículo, que en semana y media o dos ya lo voy a poner en presente y de pie, así que preparamos un artículo lo más bonito por aquí. And Desiree, if you're listening, I need that article from you. And anyone out there who thinks that they have something to say about the situation with Puerto Rico or anything that has to do with nosotros los boricuas, here in the United States, anywhere in the world, in Puerto Rico, just send it to us. You know, if we approve it, we'll put it on our publication. If you send us your picture, we'll also add your picture to it. You can send us articles with pictures as long as you show us where the picture has to go, because you can't send me the article complete with pictures. You send me the article and you send me the picture separately. Okay? Pero mi gente, muchas gracias, que la pasen bien. Ha sido un placer estar con ustedes otra vez este viernes y espero que el viernes que viene estén con nosotros de nuevo para que gocemos juntos un ratito, así como lo hacemos todos los viernes. Que la pasen bien. Gracias, Nelson, por estar con nosotros. En mi gente, como siempre les digo, para saber dónde vamos, tenemos que saber de dónde venimos. En estas últimas semanas yo he estado poniendo música que yo escribí porque quiero que la escuchen. Además, I want to show off a little bit. So, hoy los voy a dejar con otro numerito que yo escribí que se titula Sunday Afternoon. I hope you like it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry, you're going to hear it. But if you like it, at least give me a shout out and let me know you liked it. Que la pasen bien, mi gente.